You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, again to the book of Romans in chapter 15. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you and thank you. Help us in understanding that we might be able to withstand. And in withstanding to overcome and honor you the more. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. If I may just backtrack in the light of this morning. And if you would just think, here's your Bible, scripture Bible in front of you. And if you lived early on with Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, you followed them, would you have had a Bible? You didn't have any Bible. You had God. How did God operate? He talked to them when he had to, and he did whatever he had to do. That's what he did. And it wasn't until the Exodus what took place, that God gave them opportunity, as we've shared all these things. And God spoke to them from Mount Sinai, and Deuteronomy 5 and that. They said, we don't want to hear you anymore. Don't want to hear you. And they didn't. Not like that. Never heard again. Here we are through history. Now, what did you do, God? I had Moses write the first 5 books of the Bible. That's how you got your Bible. Was Moses there with Abraham? Was Moses there with Noah? No. 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 God said, I'm going to give it in writing. That's this Bible you have in front of you. And you say, no, it's unique. Well, so different men copy. No, no. Just start with the beginning, from Genesis to Deuteronomy. God did all that. God did it. That's what he said. So now, when I read, why did you say that? Well, people could have, all they had to do was have faith and like Abraham and talk with God and look to God and God helped them, Noah, etc. But they didn't want to do that. God cut it off. So here we are in Romans chapter 15. And I just remind you, as we've been looking at hope, the wonderful expectation, anticipation, expectation of things looked for. I expect to, as we shared this morning, I expect to go in the refrigerator, etc., and find something. I expect. And when you go in and find it in the refrigerator, that is what you found. Objectively, you found the object that you were expecting. Subjective, you're looking for it. Objective, there it is. Same word, subjectively, objectively. Now, here's the scriptures. So God has given us the scriptures, his word. It makes it sort of onomous, since we say the Bible is written by, and they do that. But when you really think about it, the Bible is rather unique, to say the least. Absolutely unique. So, God, here we are looking, and you gave the scriptures, as we read in verse 4, 15, 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience, bearing up under the load, endurance, and comfort, encouragement of the scriptures, might have hope. And we share together hope, the expectancy, which we just mentioned, and the hope that we have. Now, the God of patience, bearing up, enduring, consolation, comfort, grant you to be like-minded one to another according to Christ Jesus. Now, verse 13 again. Now the God of hope, the God who is the one who makes for hope, fill you with all joy and peace. Why do I need joy and peace? In believing, why do I need to have joy and peace in believing? In order that I may abound in hope, that I may abound in hope. I have to have some relationship to God that says there's something to be expected. And when I expect something, it's out there to be found. So God, that's what you're doing, the scriptures. And you've given them so that I may, verse 13 again, that we may abound through the hope, through the power of the Holy Ghost. And so all of this is centered in God. So the whole business of hope, the absolute word, the word that is required for our existence, is centered in God, centered in His Word. Now, having said that, and we did that, and we looked, you have to look back there perhaps, you have to go back, Abraham, oh, you can do it, you're right there, it'll only take a second, and will only be a second. What do we know about Abraham? Abraham, verse 18, 4 and 18, who against hope, Abraham, believed in hope. So God said the impossible to Abraham. Abraham would see it as impossible. But what makes things that can't be, things that are impossible, what makes them work? God does. And Abraham said, you can't hope for that because it'll never happen. Except when God is the author and stirrer of the heart, it does happen. It does happen. Because the hope is centered in God. That's why it's going to happen. Now, and in the end of verse chapter 4, Abraham believed God for the impossible. And we slid over to chapter 8. Chapter 4 and chapter 5, and you have to have experience, and that's how you get hope. You learn it. You stumble through everything. That's how you learn, that's how you grew up in your school and everything. You learn things, and then you get them wrong, and you learn them, and you don't even see the practicality of it until one day you see how practical something is, the mathematics or something. And you become what you have an experience of something, and then all of a sudden, mathematics or whatever it is you want to look at, recipe cooking, whatever it is, you cook the recipe, and the recipe comes out like it's supposed to because you followed the recipe. So you're encouraged to go to the book again, the same book, and you try another recipe. You might even try that again, because it came out just like it's supposed to. You keep, how do you, that's Romans chapter 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. By experience, we learn it. Hope. We keep, that's how we learn. And now, chapter 8, and we share together that the expectation to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, to have a new body, etc., etc. And then we slid down and looked at that, verse 26, 27, chapter 8. And the Spirit of God, remember what you read in chapter 15, verse 13. It is the Spirit of God that makes it work. You don't make it work, and I don't make it work. God makes it work. Why? Because our expectation is from God. God is the one, He's the God. He's the God of hope. He's the one that puts it together. And so as we trust Him and look to Him, we go down the corridor of time, at verse 26 and 27, and we don't know, God knows what He's going to do. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to make all of the wonderful things that happened when Christ died on the cross and you received Him as your Savior, the Spirit of God's assignment, God. Is what? To make all of that real. That's what his assignment is. You want to know what he is? To make it real. To make it so you hope And you're going to get it. You're going to get everything down the road because God makes it real. You don't make it real, and I don't make it real. God makes it real. That's why it's going to work. We're in the presence of God, and you say, well, that's why we got the word, so we can connect here. Otherwise, we don't connect at all. And therefore, we share together that God is going to go and make all things work together for good. That's what he's going to do. All kinds of things. That's then go back to Romans 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the trying of your faith, etc. And you're going to go through that. And so God's going to go and make everything work out for what? For what he wants. In the midst of evil, he's going to make good. He's going to make it good. That's what he did. He died on the cross to make it good, to make it possible. And we share together that in verse 31, 32, that all things in verse 28, all things work together for good. In verse 31, there's no things that aren't good, bad things, all in the country, world, the government. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, no one. If God's for you, then who can be against you? Who can be against God? You can't be against God. That's what the devil's doing, trying to be against God. It doesn't work. And then we share together that all these things work together. Verse 32, all these things, and God gives us all these things, wonderful things. And think of what you did in Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, remember, when you're all done, and hope and the love, verse 5, the love of God is what? Shed abroad in your heart, and the hope, what does the love of God do? It gets you full of hope. The hope, that's what God does. You're expectant in this world in which we live. Now, so therefore, that's the next section in that, verse 34, 35, etc. It's the love of God. What can separate us from the love of God? Well, nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. In verse 37, nay, and we keep reading these little words over and over again, in all these things. So you try to say some things and some things and some things. That's what we do. God doesn't say that. God keeps saying all things. There's nothing. There's nothing excluded. Nothing excluded. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, everything in our world, the whole world, there's nothing excluded. Everything. And therefore, we're more than, verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to Colossians. And just doing it so it locks it in. So you just put it together in your head and heart in Colossians. And in chapter 1, you'll notice we did it the other day, Colossians 1, picking up, please, in verse 5 directly. For the hope, there's a little word, expectancy, anticipation of what we're expecting, future good, and the goods out there to get. To have. Verse 5. For the hope which we is laid up for us, laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So our hope, where is our hope? It's in heaven. How secure is it? That our hope's in heaven. Hang on, it'll come together. Our hope is in heaven. That's fine. Now, and in the same chapter, over if I can, to Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 27. In whom God, remember the mystery, never understood, never could even be conceived, that God would take whosoever's in this age of grace and make you part of his body. In whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Among you, among the Gentiles, that's us, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 5, the hope is in heaven. Verse 27, the hope is in you. The hope that's in heaven, heaven's waiting. Christ in you is waiting. Waiting. Put it all together. So Christ, where is our hope? Our hope is in Christ. That's where it is. And our hope is locked in because it's in heaven. Our hope is in heaven. That's where he's seated at the right hand of God. When I receive the wonderful deity of God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, I receive hope in my heart. I have hope in heaven. I'm locked in. I'm locked here. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, locked in, over to Hebrews. And if I can, in Hebrews chapter 6, picking up if I may. And in Hebrews chapter 6, you're going to recall, it's all about hope again. And in the process, we're going to go, and you'll pick up, if you can, encouragement to hang in there. But don't back down, don't back away, don't fall away. Just keep, stay right in there, trusting God. And verse 6:9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you than things that accompany salvation. Through though we thus speak, we're telling you, we don't want to have thorns and thistles and wood, hay, and stubble. No, we want you to be successful. And now, God, how are you going to do that? Uh-huh. And sliding down verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance, the full confidence, the full assurance of hope unto the end. Hope unto the end. We're looking for hope. Looking for hope all the way. Hope, our hope's in heaven. Where are we headed? We're hope, expectancy, and we're going to go where to get what is there, for us. And heaven, looking, if you can do it that way, looking down, expects us here, the object of hope, to get there. We're here to get there. And heaven, we're here to get there. That's where it's. Where is all that located? In God. In God. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, sliding, if I can, in verse 12, that ye be not slothful, don't be lazy, lax, don't be slothful. Think, remember you have in Hebrews 5, don't be dull of hearing. Have an ear to hear in verse 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, bearing up under the load, endurance, inherit the promises. So the promises are there to have, but you got to go for them. That's what you have to do. That's why God gave the promises. He promised you this, and you expect it because he gave you the promise. He said, I want you to expect thus and thus and thus, and then we proceed to get it, to go for it. Now, so here, you want to just turn a moment, keep your finger here, it's not far away, over to chapter 10 for a moment. And remember now the promises, that's why God gave them. And while I'm saying that, you would remember, if you would, in 1 Corinthians, a chapter, 2 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 20 of that, all the promises of God in Christ are what? Yes and amen. And where are all those promises located? In Christ. In the believing heart. That's where they are. But you don't look at me. Hold your finger here in Hebrews 10 and go over to 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. And go on verse 20. For all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes, and in him, amen, so be it. What for? Unto the glory of God. How so? How is the agent? What is the agent to make it all work out? By us. We're the custodians of this assignment to honor the promises of God. It is our, we are to be expecting, anticipating, and moving forward to fulfill, for God to fulfill, God in you, in Christ, all the promises of God are in him, and in your heart, God's going to outwork all of them. He's going to Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what you're doing. You're moving through it. Not hard. Back over to chapter 10 of Hebrews. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, 10 and 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. In other words, it's going to have a good reward. For you have need of patience, bearing up under, enduring. That's right. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So you got to honor God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's what he did. Abraham believed the impossible was possible, because God did it. All the promises of God are in Christ Jesus, yes and amen. And in your heart, you are to enjoy the outworking of God's wonderful will. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he shall come, he that shall come, will come, and he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. No, we don't want to go backwards, we want to go forwards. But, verse 39, we are not of them that draw back to perdition, judgment, but of them that believe to the saving of his of the soul. So God, here we are looking, back over to chapter 6. Here we are going forward, and all the promises of God are there. And in verse 12, that you be not slothful, dull, slow, but followers of them who through the faith and patience bearing up under, they inherit the promises. You got to work through them. You got to believe and keep going. That's what we just read in chapter 15, Romans, and verse 13. By believing, peace and joy, and you have all the promises. You believe, and they're there. The expectancy is legitimate and authorized by God. So therefore, if I can, in verse 13. For when God, remember we had Abraham believed God against hope, and he had hope anyway. Chapter 6 of Hebrews, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Now you have to go back without doing all of that in Genesis. What do we know? Well, God, you told Abraham to believe. And if he believed, you would bless him. You would bless him. And Abraham would be the example of believing God. Abraham would be the example. David's the example of walking and having a heart for God. Abraham, faith in God. And Abraham, you're going to do it. So Abraham, verse 13, God made promise to Abraham, a wonderful covenant, Abrahamic covenant and all of these different things and the wonderful future for Israel. And he made promise and swear by them because he could swear by no greater than himself. So God, verse 14, saying surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3. God, that's what God said. That's what God's going to do. That's what God's doing. Now, so therefore, verse 15, And so, after he had patiently, bearing up under, endured, he obtained the promise. And he waited, like we shared this morning, 25 years. He waited. We waited, doubted. That's where Ishmael comes in. And doubted, well, maybe it isn't. He said, well, not Abraham didn't, but he did. Well, he did. And his wife Sarah didn't. Didn't believe God. So therefore, in verse 15, so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise, is Isaac, etc. For men, now God, you're going to help us understand, because that's what the book of Hebrews is about. You have a wonderful Savior, an awesome Savior. And that awesome Savior, it's a very, 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 all those varies, personal. It's a very personal relationship. Wonderful relationship. That's the book of Hebrews. Awesome. Oh, no, it isn't. Nothing dull about it. Once we need to get a hold of it a little better. Now, so therefore, verse 16, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all things. So you swear, and then you take an oath, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth of God. I'm going to do that. I'm going to, an oath. You're going to take it. You're going to say, I'm telling you. And then you take an oath. You're going to, I swear, before God. That's what you do. Now God can't do that. No, God. And here's Abraham. And Abraham, and that's how men did it. They made an oath that they would keep it. They had different ways of making the oath legit so that they meant it. They meant what they're going to do. It used to be that years ago, more so. Remember when we did all the business, this building even, and all of it. We did it with what? The shaking of a hand. That's what we did. Shook the banker's hand. The banker's whole board of the bank was out here, and they shook the hand. They did. How did we do business? We shook the hand. Or any business. That's how we did it. And we were obligated. They're obligated, we're obligated. There's no question. That isn't true today, but it was true. That's how it was done. I still do that when I can with people. I told you. I said, do it. You do what you're doing, and I'll do what I'm doing. We're going to do it. Now, having said that, by an oath, that's what Abraham grew up with. He knew this in his world. So God, what are we supposed to know? Verse 17. Wherein, God willing, now this, swear, Abraham's looking for someone to keep his promise. Are you going to keep your promise? And someone says, I will keep my promise. Well, how does God say that? Wherein, God willing, more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise. That's, here we are, way down the corridor of time. From Abraham, the immutability of his counsel continued of by an oath. An oath. That's what God did. God did that. Now God did that. Now, if people give an oath and they keep it, Hebrew, Jewish understanding, then if the people keep an oath, surely God, who's greater than people, when he says an oath, you can bet it's going to be kept. Because if people keep an oath, when God does it, it surely is going to be. Now, God, what did you do to encourage Abraham and us all the way through history? God, verse 18, that by two immutable, unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. He can't lie. So that's, you can, no matter how you cut the cookie, he can't lie. That we might have a strong consolation, encouragement, comfort who have fled for refuge, to lay hold, to stronghold, to seize, to grab hold of, to lay hold upon. What are we? The hope that is set before us. So what are we encouraged to do? God says, grab hold of your expectation. Abraham, he did. Abraham believed God, and that's why he was able to go and even offer Isaac and to go and kill him, because he believed God. That's all God wanted to see. Do you believe me? And God honored it. Now, so here we are in verse 18, two unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, comfort, encouragement, who have fled, we've run to God. Think of David. David's fleeing, told what, remember Psalm 11 when we read that together? What are the righteous going to do when the foundations be destroyed? And they were telling David, David, you better run, because Saul and them are going to get you. They're going to kill you. And David said, where shall I run to? Where shall I run to? Here, what are we looking at? Well, we're fled for refuge. We're going to go to God and to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. A wonderful, wonderful expectancy. Mm-hmm. It's in heaven, Colossians 1:5. And it's in the heart, Colossians 1:27. Christ, our hope. So we got it. It's locked in. What are we locked into? God is going to do what he said he was going to do. And God's going to do it. That's what God's going to do. So having said that, the hope which is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into the veil that is within the veil. So God, you're going to go, and you've anchored us, you've anchored the soul, you've anchored the believer's soul, sure, steadfast, you've anchored that soul within the veil. That's right. Now, and hang on over to chapter 10 again. And you would recall what we have. What did Christ do? Well, chapter 10, Hebrews, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, holy, the holy place, and then the holiest of all, the ark was there. Priests could go and go there. Priests could go in once a year on the Day of Atonement. Verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And we have, and also having an high priest over the house of God. So God, we have an awesome thing you've done for us, and you're there. So God, you rose again, you died, buried, rose again. You're seated at the right hand of the God. Where are you seated? In the Holy of Holies, at the throne of God. That's where I'm seated. Oh God, that's where you're at. So what are we supposed to do? Chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. God, let us hold fast, etc., and come to God. So we're going to come. Let draw near. Why can we draw near? Because Christ is there. He's an anchor. He's an anchor. What's the anchor? What's the anchor doing? It's locked in. It's locked in. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where is Christ seated? In his perfect humanity, seated at the right hand of God. What do we know in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7? We're seated, right off, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we're seated. That's where we're locked in. We're there. And we're here. Christ is there and in the heart of the believer. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God, it's locked in. What's it locked? How's it locked in? It's locked into you. It's locked into your wonderful person in Christ Jesus. So when I receive you as my Savior, you make me a new creature in Christ. Remember what we said with the cups? God makes us a new creature, as it were, fell on the ground. God makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we have that wonderful relationship that we're able to have to God and look to God now. So therefore, God, we have a unique, the relationship is you. That's why we read this morning in that, in Timothy in that. God is our hope, a person. A person is your hope. It isn't a thing, it's a person, God. God says what he means and means what he says and does it. That's what he's doing. So therefore, we have a hope, verse 19. Hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, that's Jesus, he's there already, went there, rose again, and ascended to the right hand of God, to sit at the right hand of God, in his perfect humanity. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Wow, it's a priestess, isn't it? Now, God, you're going to ever quit? No, I can't quit. Over to chapter 7. That's what that book of Hebrews is all about. God, what are you? You're a high priest. You're the one that represents God and represents us and to bring God and us together. Atonement. You bring us together. Chapter 7, verse 16. Who is made, that's Melchizedek, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, flesh, but after the power, dynamo, of an endless life. For he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, God, are you ever going to quit? No. When do you quit? You don't. You don't quit. It keeps going and going and going and going and going. And it doesn't stop. Wow. So, God, you've done that. That's right. I made it so that that's true. There's a little boy. A little boy had a kite, you know. And by the way, going back to Hebrews 6 again. And that we have an anchor of the soul. An anchor. If you have been in a ship or out in the ocean or somewhere, and you have an anchor, and what's the anchor do? Well, the anchor is put down so that the ship doesn't drift. Stays put, at least hopefully. Stays put. So here's the anchor going down. Big, big, big rope. Remember, think of the prisoners of hope in Zechariah chapter 9. Prisoners of hope. Big rope. Hope. Locks it in. Anchor. So when they're out there, what the ships you lock in, and the storms come and everything, and the waves and everything calm, and what happens? Well, when it's calm, the boat sits there. But when the storm comes, it's up and down, up and down, up and down. But it only can go so far up because the anchor holds it. And so when in the storm, what would you know? You feel the tugs. You feel the tugs. It goes up and tugs. It just, you know, you're going up all the way, but you don't go all the way up because the anchor holds you. It tugs, God's tugs and hugs. The little boy flying his kite way up in the sky. So far you couldn't see it, hardly in the clouds up there, couldn't see it. So the gentleman came by and asked him what he was doing. I said, I'm flying my kite. And the man looked and said, I don't see a kite. Where is your kite? I can't see it either, said the little boy. But you know what? As I hold the string, I feel the tugs all the time. That's why I know the kite's there. Because the tugs keeps doing it. I know there's something out there holding me. God, what are you doing? The Romans chapter 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the trying of exercise, learning, experiencing, fumbling through life. What's it do? It tugs, it tugs. We get down and we look to God, and the hope, looking to God, that he's our hope. So we proceed forward in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, over to 1 John. So hope is essential, but hope is centered in God. So it isn't about anything about us. So you don't say hope. Our hope has nothing to do with success or failure or anything. It has to do with God and his wonderful grace. So here's 1 John, as you know. Picking up, if I can, 1 John. And if I can. And you would recall, I'll start even in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons, the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So we have a unique relationship. Behold, now are we the sons, the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Let's think of Romans 8 and 20 in that, where we're looking for the redemption, looking for the fulfillment, the expectation to change us. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons, children of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that. What do we know? That when he shall appear, we should be like him. Why will we be like him? For we shall see him as he is, as he really is. That's what we're going to see him. So we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. That's what God's going to do. Hang on. Verse 3. And every man, boy or girl, man or woman, that believes, that hath this hope to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. God, the blessed hope, Titus 2:13 that we shared this morning, the blessed hope. Every man, woman, man and woman, boy or girl, that hath this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now God, I'm pure, to be clean, holy. How am I going to get clean? Be looking for me. We're in an old nature, word, thought, and deeds, lousy. But we live in it, And that's why you understand, don't you? 1 John 1:7, we walk in the light as he is in the light. And what? And the blood of Jesus Christ is what? Cleansing us. Why? Because we're dirty. We got a lousy old nature. And we can't fix it. But God's going to fix it. And we're going to be like him. What are we looking for? We're looking to be rescued. Rescued. And when we know, and God, what are you saying to me? Well, if you understand, when I have that expectancy rightly in my heart, looking for that his soon return, that purifies my heart and yours. It makes it clean. We walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. And as we're going down the corridor of time, what's God doing? God's going to go and he's going to go and make it so that we're clean. So when God takes you up, you don't need a bath. He takes the old away and makes it all new in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's called the blessed hope, the blessed hope. Wow. God, so we're looking to you. Now, over if I can. And in that, it's an awesome thing, actually. Let me do one more thing. Over, if you would, to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And 1 Thessalonians, if I can, in chapter 4. Wow. God, what did you tell the Thessalonians? They're waiting for the Son from heaven, chapter 1, verse 10. That's what they're doing, waiting for his return. And therefore, when I come in chapter 4, picking up in verse 13, though I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep that have passed on and died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. And the world, the hypocrite's hope, it doesn't go anywhere. Expectancy that you can't do. And we don't even have it. We don't even want to think about it. Hope I'm going to go this, and this is the future, and this is going to be at work, homeschool, and you all that hope. But your hope needs to rest in God, God's will for your life. That's what God's going to do. If he wants you to be whatever he wants you to be, to do whatever he wants you to do, you want that in God's will. You can't make it happen. I can't make it happen. God makes it happen. Therefore, what are we saying? Remember what we said in Blessed Hope, Titus 2:13. So verse 15, read verse 4. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep that have died, will Jesus, that sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. And from this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, that's us, we're still here, shall not prevent, hinder them which are asleep. The people died, Peter, Paul, James, all of them died. And we're still here, that's right. We're still here, so waiting. And verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're all going to get new bodies, resurrected bodies. But be of good cheer. Verse 17. Then we aren't going to get left out. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptured, seized, like taking something and grabbing it and lifting it up. Rapture, caught up. Together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Be encouraged. What to be encouraged? That's a hope. That's your blessed hope. What do you mean? God is going to do what he's going to do, and you're going to trust him. So chapter 5, verse 9, what do we know God? For God hath not appointed us to wrath in this age of grace, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should be live together with him. Now, God, would you confirm this to the Thessalonians? I will. Therefore, verse 23, the very God of peace sanctify, set you apart wholly, completely, and I pray God, your whole spirit, your body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then God, you did say it, faithful is he that calleth you. That's God. God said, I can't swear by anyone except me. So I make a promise. And I swear and take an oath, I'm going to keep it. I made my promise, take an oath. God said, listen, I'm coming. I swear, that's a promise. I take an oath, I'm coming. That's what I'm going to do. Wow. And God, verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now, God's going to do that. And that's a hope. And that's where a hope. You don't say, I hope it's going to. We use the word, we use it a lot, but, we aren't going to get caught up in it too much. Nope, because our hope is in God. It is any coming at any moment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's how we think of 1 Peter 3 and 15. How do we answer people that ask a reason for the what in us? They're asking a reason for the hope in us. They aren't asking about the, what do they ask you? What is the hope in you? That's what they want to know. They don't want to know what you know, or how much do you know, or can you quote this? They want to know if they're looking at you, and you got a little bit going for you, They're looking to see what makes you so expectant and assured that what you're expecting is going to be there for you. What is it about you? See? 1 Peter 3 and 15. Now, near, so very near to God, nearer I could not be. For in the person of his Son, I'm just as near as he. Dear, so very dear to God, dearer I could not be. For in the person of his Son, I'm just dear as he. I'm just as precious as his Son, and so are you. So before you sit and get too whatever, thank God if you're saved, be saved. And thank God he loves you, and he loves you like his Son. That's why you're called sons. Hope. Our Father in God, we thank you for thy word and work. So deal with us according to your pleasure. God, give safety in the highway and all of these different things. God, that we just understand how to get out of bed and go to school and work and home and stumble through everything in the country, in the world, as it occurs. God, and we want to do it because we're going to be looking Christ in us. Thank you. The hope of glory. Thank you. Thank you that we're seated, God. We're there with you. And you're here with us. An anchor. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.